Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, these are God's words. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, inflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all her children." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The Lord Jesus does not meet our expectations until our expectations are conformed to his word. This is especially true of unbelievers, as we will see when we get to thinking about Jesus' statement, "To what shall I liken the men of this generation?" and so on. It was also true even of John the Baptizer. John, who had said, "There is one coming after me, whose sandals I am worthy to untie." The one who said, "When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The baptizer who identified him when he came and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But even believers sometimes come into hard times themselves or have an expectation that God in his wisdom and in his timing does not fulfill, or perhaps by virtue of our incompleteness in the knowledge of his word, our expectations are slightly out of proportion, sometimes not so slightly out of proportion. with what God says about himself, with what Christ says about himself in the Bible. And so sometimes our expectations need adjusting. So John sends to Jesus, who had said all these things about him. He says, are you the one? Are you the coming one? Or should we look for another? Verse 19. And notice what Jesus does. He immediately performs for the followers of John that John had sent many of the kinds of miracles that the Messiah was supposed to do. But that's not the concluding climax. That's not the greatest piece of evidence that Jesus gives him. What does he give him as the climax at the end of verse 22? And the poor have the gospel preached to them. That God, who has a special eye for the lowly, God who does not respect those who are great in the eyes of man, and the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, of whom it was prophesied that the bruised reed he wouldn't break, and the smoking wick he would not snuff out, that he would be the King of perfect gentleness. Jesus identifies himself as exactly the one that Isaiah had talked about in all those passages. And Jesus turns around and he basically identifies himself that way, not just to John's followers, whom John had sent to him, but also to the people who were around him at the time while he was doing these things and while he answered John's followers, because he tells them, John is the prophet from Isaiah chapter 40, the messenger who goes before the Messiah. And, of course, Jesus is identifying himself as the Messiah. And just as Jesus had not fully met John's expectations, and John needed to have his expectations adjusted, so also John hadn't met their expectations. Jesus is telling them that you need an expectation reorientation. Because John was not this reed that is blown by the wind. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Was he the kind of man that noticed whichever way the wind was blowing and bent in the correct way to go with the way that the wind blows? God help the church. God save the church. There are many preachers like that. Figure out which way the culture is thinking and talking, and talk in a way that bends in that direction. And then the wind changes and they talk in a way that bends the other direction. We're in a section in Ephesians 4 in our Ephesians studies, aren't we? Where he says that the reason that Jesus gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers is so that the church would not be like that, driven by the wind and tossed to and fro by waves of teaching and of doctrine. Jesus says, nope, John didn't come to meet anybody's expectations. What might you have expected the great prophet to be? To have gorgeous clothing, luxurious clothing, and live in luxury in the king's courts. Was that where they found John? In king's courts? Nope, they found him in the wilderness. Did they find him wearing the finest clothing? Nope, they found him with rough woven camel's hair garments. Did they find him living in luxury? Dining on the finest cuisine? Only if by the finest cuisine you mean wild locusts with honey for dip. Okay? So he says, John was not according to your expectations either. And then he gives this curious statement, but I say to you, because he identifies John as the prophet from Isaiah 40, and he says, but I say to you, those among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? Because everyone in the kingdom of God is sure that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we go through times of doubt in this life, and God help us and preserve us from such a wicked doubt as to be doubting about Jesus. Someone who is doing so should not think that they are in the kingdom. Even though we may falter and we may backslide, we have no ground for assurance if we have any doubts about Jesus. So Jesus says, the trick is, or not the trick, trick is a bad word for that. The key, that's it. The key is that you have your expectations reoriented. You say, whatever Jesus says about himself, that's true. He is the Savior. I'm sure of that. I'm not sure of me and some of the particulars of what I think, but I'm sure of him and I'm sure of his word. And that's the kind of person that you find in the kingdom. And of course, those who were baptized with the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance. You remember recently we read that in Acts. It was a baptism that said, I do not think, speak, feel, act like I should. God is righteous and I am not. I justify God. And I say, I myself am not justified before God. I need forgiveness. Okay, the baptism of repentance. Those who had received that baptism, when Jesus says you have to have your expectations reoriented, and John was a true prophet, they say, that's exactly right. I had to have my expectations. I had to have my everything reoriented. Why not my expectations? And John is a true prophet because he has pointed me to Jesus. And so they justify the Lord Jesus Christ. They justify God, verse 29. In other words, they declare God is exactly right in all of this that he has done. Who doesn't? The Pharisees and the lawyers. They reject the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Why were they not baptized by John? Because they thought we're pretty good. We might need some minor improvements here and there, but we don't need a complete reorientation. Our acting is pretty good. Our thinking is pretty good. Our expectations are spot on. And so when Jesus comes and says, you need an expectation reorientation, they do not justify God and say, God is right. Jesus is right about this. No, they reject the will of God for themselves. And Jesus turns around and he says, y'all are being like children. Oof. Children who say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We want you, people who want Jesus to do for them the things that they think are great. Okay, they say, we want dancing. We want you to indulge us in our pleasure. And we played the flute for you and you did not dance. You were not happy to give us our pleasure. And then they turn around and they say, we mourned to you and you did not weep. People who wanted God to be impressed with how miserable they made themselves with their religion. Right? The Isaiah 58, the first part of Isaiah 58. Why did we fast and afflict ourselves and you see it not? We mourned to you and you did not weep. What do both of those things have in common? People who have expectations and want God and Jesus and his word to meet their expectations. They want God to have the reorientation. But God says, no, that's not how it works. If your expectations and the way that God works and what God says and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, if those two things, if that doesn't meet with your expectations, it's your expectations that need to be reoriented. Kind of like the person who says, well, I refuse to believe in a God who blah, 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 blah. Well, that's if it's the blah, 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 and their wicked rebellion is something that the Bible truly says about God, then what they have just said is, I refuse to believe in the true and living God because he doesn't meet my expectations. Can you imagine having felt and thought and said that? And then having to appear before the righteous and just and holy and wrathful God on the last day. And Jesus concludes, for John the Baptizer, that's what we're going to call him because of the denomination of those in some error that have stolen the word Baptist. For John the Baptizer neither came eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say, he has a demon. Why is he so serious about everything? The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I can't believe he shows grace to people and he is willing to enjoy God's good gifts. Doesn't he know that true religion is to be hard-hearted towards people and show how good you are by making yourself miserable? Two sets of expectations, both of which do not meet the scriptures. And then he concludes by saying, wisdom is justified by all her children. The wisdom of God in his word, and especially at the center of that word, God sending his son as a savior of sinners, and everything it teaches about Jesus. The wisdom of God reorients our expectations. And as we have our way of thinking and our desires and our motives corrected bit by bit and shaped bit by bit by God's word, more and more we say, look how perfect the word of God is. And look how perfect God himself is. And look how perfect the plan of salvation is. And look how perfect the Lord Jesus is. And look how wonderful is everything about him. And we become wisdom's children. We bear, as it were, the family resemblance. And we say, God is right. I was wrong. But I thank him for giving me an expectation reorientation. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, 100 times a day, we're feeling or thinking or desiring wrongly in response to your providence, in response to others, in response to you yourself. And we thank you and praise you for your patience with us. For if anyone has the right to be infuriated or simply to take action upon those who did not fulfill expectations, it would be you, our God, who did so with us as we did not do what is rightly expected of us. But you, O God, are merciful in your love. You have sent Christ into the world to bear our sins, and you have sent the Spirit of Christ into our hearts to give us your wisdom, to take your word and apply it and reshape our thinking. We ask that you would give us this expectation reorientation that your word here describes. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and your children here say, amen.